So how do, if some of us choose to become fully devoted to this, to spiritual life, say as monks or as full-time practitioners, then should one take such a practice, or when should one decide to take up a practice? How does one know that one is suitable for such a vocation? The first thing is that we understand that we are meant to develop our relationship with Krishna. And we want to practice bhakti yoga so that we can grow in our relationship with Krishna. Once that focus is clear, then Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that Tesham Satat Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. That I will give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. That means, what is Krishna says, if we have the strong desire to come to him, what is the best way to him, he will reveal to us. But sometimes we focus while practicing bhakti too much on the externals. No, should I be this or should I be that? Should I be a person in the world or should I renounce the world? That dialectic is not as important as, am I serving Krishna? How can I best serve Krishna? How can I best connect with Krishna? How can I best nourish my devotion to Krishna? If we have that intention, then everything external gradually is seen in perspective, it falls in place. So first, as we say, the first thing is to put first things first. So in our spiritual life, sometimes people get a little scared. Oh, if I become spiritual, then I'll become a monk. I'll renounce everything. No, that is not the point of spirituality. The point of spirituality is to grow in our relationship with Krishna. How we grow, that will vary from person to person. Once we are clear about what is the first thing, then other things fall in place. Now, specifically, there are some people, there are two, three different kinds of people who may choose to fully pursue spirituality. Now, all of us are in a journey of spiritual evolution. And this journey, as souls, we are eternal. So some of us may have started our spiritual journey in the previous life also. And these are people who have, in a sense, their hearts have touched the sky, but their feet are still on the ground. So there are some people who are just different. Some people, right from childhood, they're just asking questions about things which even their parents have not thought about. Where did I come from? What is the purpose of life? And such questions. So there are not many, but there are a few people like that. Krishna says that purvabhyasena tenaiva riyate. By their past practice, they are helplessly attracted towards spiritual principles. It is, even if their parents say, don't be such a, don't think so much. They just can't do that. They have to think. It's almost like helpless. So there are some people who are like that. They, right from their childhood itself, they have a very deep spiritual craving. They just find ordinary life so superficial. And such people, once they come to a spiritual path, it just clicks. This is what I'm meant to do. And for such people who are already evolved on the spiritual path, then everything else actually seems superficial. It seems insubstantial. So such people, if they're forced to be in material life, if they're forced to pursue material responsibilities, it will be torture for them. And they need to be given the freedom to practice what they're naturally attracted to. So that there are a category, not many, but there are a small but significant category of people who are naturally spiritual in terms of their upbringing, in terms of the way they are. Apart from that, there can be some people who actually feel very inspired to commit themselves to a higher cause. They want to make some contribution. And their focus is on how I can commit to some higher cause. And then if they come to bhakti and they understand how raising people's consciousness to the spiritual level, that is the highest cause that we can contribute to, then their zeal for activism. See, one is, the first I talked about it, they're just spiritually attracted. The second is, people who are just activists. They're activists, and their zeal for activism, when they get connected with spirituality, they feel, yes, this is where I can really make a big impact, make a significant impact. are not just big in terms of what creates news, but big in terms of what actually makes a change, what actually brings about transformation. You know, in the UNESCO Charter, it is said that, you know, war begins in the minds of people. And therefore, peace to be established also has to begin in the minds of people. So, now if people become peaceful, then we can have a world, more peaceful world. Spirituality helps us to become peaceful internally. So, it is not going to make any sensation in the world. But actually, it is going to bring a transformation in the world. The more people become spiritual. So, there are people who are activists. And they feel inspired to direct their activism towards spirituality. And there are another category of people who are just swept by the power of spiritual association. These are such nice people. No, I just want to be with them all the time. And then they may feel, I just don't want to associate with other kind of people. And they're swept by the power of spiritual association. And then they move onwards. Now, if they can themselves develop that inspiration also. It's one thing is to be inspired by someone else. Okay, this is such a nice person. I want to be like them. But then we have to check whether that is my sustainable inspiration. Is this what I can do sustainably? So basically, for those who are not so much made for being monks or being full-time spiritualists, a lot of mental energy is dissipated in what I should give up or what I should not give up. Maybe I should give this up. No, maybe I should not give this up. But for those who become full-time spiritualists and can sustain full-time practice of spirituality, their focus is not on what I give up, but is what I take up. And they're so taken up themselves by the spiritual practices, by the spiritual cause, that yes, giving up certain things, it is a challenge, but that is not what obsesses the mind. That is not what consumes the mind. So, if we find that our mind is too consumed by what we are giving up, should I give this up? Should I not give this up? Then we may actually become more spiritual by not focusing so much on giving it up. So we adjust our life in such a way that we have whatever material needs we personally feel we need, and then practice our spiritual life. So to summarize the answer, I talked about these three categories. Those who are already spiritually inclined, those who are activists, and those who are swept by the power of spiritual association. They all can become full-time practitioners, but individually, the important thing is that if our focus can be on what we are taking up, and we don't get too much caught in what we are giving up, then we can sustain that. But if we find that we are just too caught up in, how can I give this up? No, I want to give it up. I can't. I must. If that dialectic is what is consuming us too much, then better settle for a spiritual practice which is less disturbing for us and which will actually be more fulfilling in the long run. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Any other questions or comments?